This time, what I want to do is I want to bring up Pastor Adrian and Pastor Shelby. I just want to introduce you to my friends. Come on up here. I want to introduce you to them that made this very possible for us to be in this place. Amen. Come on, just say a few words. Greet the people. Greet the people.
It is a blessing to have Pastor Marty, House of Manna. This is not our house. This is the house of the Lord. And I honestly can't find a better man of God and a better amazing fellowship of the Lord like House of Manna to partner up with and share the space that God has given us. Amen. So God bless you. We know that this is the beginning of something huge for House of Manna. God bless you all.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Amen. I asked Apostle Rob if he would come and share whatever he had on his heart, just some prophetic he had in his spirit to speak. If you have it now, come. If you don't, we can wait till we can stir the pot a little bit. Stir the pot. Okay. You got anything, ma'am? If you got something now, you can come on up. She got it? All right, you can come on up here. Amen.
Amen. Praise God for this opportunity. The word that the Lord had given me for yourself and your wife, Pastor Marty, and the Lord answered a question. He says, it's because you said yes. He says, because you said yes. I'm not sure if you've asked any questions lately, but the Lord says, because. It's because you said yes. And he says, because you said yes, he says, all hell broke loose. But the Lord says that now the gates of hell is getting ready to be pushed back on your behalf. And the Lord says that the gates of heaven are now open for you and unto you. And the Lord says there's an open heaven of favor that is over you. And everything that you have been praying for, the Lord says he's going to put people in place. He's lining them up they're going to give to you. They're going to give to you. They're going to give to you. And he says, be ready to receive, man of God. He says, be ready to receive. He says, your cup is getting ready to overflow. He says, like you have never seen before. Because of your faithfulness and your determination and you have not given up. And the Lord says, because you said yes, he says, at that moment that you said yes, he says, there was so much that was going on and you wasn't even sure what you were saying yes to. But you took the leap of faith and you began to say, yes, Lord. And the Lord said, because you said yes to me in your situation, he says, I'm getting ready to say yes to you. And I'm opening everything up unto you, says the Lord of hosts.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So right on. We say, yes, Lord. Yes. And then the gates open, but it's not the gates of heaven. The gates of hell, you feel like they're prevailing, but they're not. It's there to buffet you. It's there to make you stronger in the areas that you feel that you're inadequate. And I understand that when we go through things, it's purpose. It's nothing. You don't go through things just to go through. You go through with purpose. Amen. So look to your neighbor and say, pain is purpose. Pain is purposed. It's all right. It's good. Amen. Apostle, when you have it, you let me know. Apostle, you can just let me know. Amen. I appreciate you guys. I thank you for showing up here. There is a strong prophetic flow that's here right now. I can feel it. And it has to do with where you're going. Amen. Where you're going. Amen. So at this time, I want to get into the word, and we're going to get into some things here, and then we're going to get into some things. Is that okay? Can we get into some things? Now, I know that school is getting ready to let out. We're getting ready to go on vacation. How many of you are ready to go on a road trip? I'm always ready, right? Car's packed and ready to go all the time. I got, what was those folding chairs? Yeah, those folding chairs in your trunk. Just in case. Just in case. Sure, just in case. You already know the in case and when it's going to be. Now, I like to go on vacations, but when we go driving down the highway, there's a tendency to see all these orange cones, right? There's some construction ahead. And when there's construction ahead, everything that you were doing, you may be moving along real good. Now you can go, what, 70, 75 on the highway now? You're cruising real good. And all of a sudden, you're coming down to 45, 30, 35. And then you're almost at a dead stop on the highway because there's construction ahead. And then, you know, we get upset because we want to be where we want to be. We want to be there already. So we get upset. I want to hurry up and get to where I'm going. How many of you want to hurry up and get to where you're going? Right? I just get me there. I know y'all pray that whole thing when the disciple met with the eunuch that he was immediately transported someplace else. Lord, transport me. You know you pray it because we all just want to hurry up, skip some of this stuff. But see, there's some seasons in your life that you have to go through some slowdowns. There's some seasons in your life that you have to go through that are inconvenient. Am I talking to somebody? I'm just trying to greet them. That's all. I'm just trying to greet them, EJ. You know how it is. You see, all we're doing is just saying there's some seasons in our life that are very inconvenient, and it gets to the point we get so stressed about our inconvenience. You know, my minute rice takes too long. My instant grits don't cook just right. Because we want things to hurry along. But what if we would have skipped the process and what we're going through because the delay or the inconvenience was really there for the betterment for the long haul? Hallelujah. How many of y'all been in that season where you've been just so inconvenient to the point where you're just like, I can't take it anymore? All right, y'all been there. Okay, just making sure. But you see, there's seasons of inconvenience is there really for you to get prepared for things that God has already planned for you that is permanent. That is permanent. Jesus has come so that he can give us life and give it more abundantly. Amen. Amen. He didn't come for you to become religious. Let me break the Bible down for you real quick. The people that he rebuked were the religious folks. So don't get religious on me. Amen. Don't get religious on God. Get relational. When you become relational with him, you may go through a season of inconvenience, but it's for your permanent good. So in the very beginning in the garden, he's creating all the animals. He's creating the firmament in the skies. He's creating everything. But the only time that he decides to involve all three of the Godhead is when he created you. Because when he said, let there be light, he was declaring by himself. But when he said, let's create man in our image, he found it very important that we would do things together in making you. Because you're so important to him. He could have just spoke you into existence, but what he did, he went through a process in making you. He went through a process first, EJ, to make you for who you are today. See, in the very beginning, he didn't just say, let it be you, Delphina. No, in his mind, he spoke to the Holy Spirit and he spoke to Jesus and said, I have Delphina in mind. But I just don't want to speak her into existence. I want to go through a process in how I bring her into being. I want to stop what I'm doing and reach, Karabasa. I want to reach into my creation that I spoke into and reach down from it and pull from it its very nurturing aspect of its very soil. And I'm going to speak her being into the soil because my words are seed. And it's not going to just process immediately, but everything that I want for her is already there. But before she can ever tap into the fulfillment of who she is, she's got to go through the process. He knew you'd be here today, Delphina. He knew it. Now, this is my auntie. Delphi, he knew that I was going to change your name just like I change everybody's name. He says, tell Delphi that everything you've been going through has been a process that I had in mind when I first created you. But I reached down into the very resources that I spoke into. So out of that, I need you to speak back into that resource so that it can begin to charge what's already there. Let me help you a second. He created the heavens and the earth. And then he reached down to the dust of the earth to create us. This is where the hand comes into play. Spoke everything else, but when he created us, his hand came into place. It came into the place where I need to make you cross, not just a worshiper, but I need to make you an instrument for the end times. And when I begin to create you, I need you to speak into the resources in which I created you from so that it would stir the very things that are inside of you to come forth in its season. See, there's some things that you begin to declare and begin to say, and then it begins to just stir the pot, if you will. And it begins to stir it so much that what has been deposited inside of you at the very beginning of time is now getting ready to come forth. Wouldn't it be something, Pastor Agent, if we could just say, I am this today, and I am. Today, I am a brain surgeon. I'll take the paycheck, but I ain't going to do. Get me a scalp and see blood. Y'all going to have to pick me up. Pull up that needle. Now look, if I could just speak some things and go through the process of what I'm speaking continually, it will frame in my mind and in my spirit, and I can become what I'm speaking. But if you don't continue to speak the good things, what God has put inside of you, you will frame something about yourself that God didn't intend for you. Oh, Lord. See, I told you the prophetic is strong in here right now. How many of you, okay, look, I'm just going to ask these questions just so you think. How many of you grew up in the family that would just say, oh, poor so-and-so? And it went from generation to generation that you got to the point like, ay, mira, pobrecito eso. Okay, so you know, poor little Timothy, Johnny, all of them, you know, what do you just say? So what you're doing is you're framing the individual by what you say. Now, when they grow up thinking that, you know, that was just love, that would, I didn't mean that, you're not poor, you're blessed. Well, say I'm blessed. It don't make no sense. No, pobrecito Martin, you know, Marty. No, I'm blessed. So we need to understand that in the very beginning, God began to do some things inside of us when the moment his hand touched us. See, when people say you can't pray the hand of God to move. No. You don't understand. That's how he created me. And if I don't feel his touch and I don't feel the closeness from my creator, then I'm going to miss some things and I'll begin to walk around finding voids in my life that was put there by words that were spoken into my life. Are you hearing this? So when you're going down the road through your destiny and you're walking God, sometimes you see that there's construction going on. And it makes it to the point like you just don't want to deal with it. It slows down your progress, slows down your process, and it slows you down. And you think you're going nowhere, and you think that you're at a standstill. I'm just going to go with this. Cross, put your right hand on her heart right now. In the name of Jesus, I declare it to you, woman of God, it ends today. It ends once and for all. I declare it to you, woman of God, you're going to see the peace of God all over you, and you're going to feel the joy of the Lord that is going to radiate through you. And it's going, oh my God, today the individual is going to start crying and asking for forgiveness. In Jesus' mighty name, I declare what the enemy has come to separate and divide. I speak against this very authority right now that is trying to take over your life. I declare it right now in Jesus' mighty name to loose you into your destiny and loose you into the woman of God that you are. By your faith, woman, hear this. These walls are coming down. They're coming down in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Inconvenience. Inconvenience. Now, I understand when a woman gets pregnant, it gets a little uncomfortable. Are you children in here better say, yeah, mama, I know it got a little uncomfortable. I thank God that you brought me all the way through. Because when you're pregnant, it started with a seed. The inconvenience comes inside of you when you have to carry the burden of the seed. Has something been deposited inside of you that you feel that you're being inconvenienced and you don't even know what's going around you? It's because what you're carrying inside. Amen. And what you're carrying inside needs to have the pressures to come against you. And those pressures are what's going to make you grow in Him. It's going to make you grow. It's when you give up during the process that you can abort the seed. Don't abort the seed. Some of y'all that have been going through some things, even some of these youngsters in here that have been going through trying to find their identity, what they've been going through, even through relationships. Thank you, I heard that. Even the relationships that keep coming against you, that sometimes you feel like you're finding the same joker that is always coming into your life, has the same type of spirit like the last one. Maybe it's because there's something inside here that needs to be removed so you won't attract it from out there. Whoever you are in here, just receive it. Just receive it. It's inconvenience so that the construction aspect of it can be a permanent good for you. To get rid of the things that are not of Him. Amen? I want to share with you a couple of things, and I'm going to move on to personal ministry because I believe this is what the Lord is asking us to do at this time. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. And when you have it, say amen. Isaiah 40. Verses 3 through 5. You guys okay? Doing good? Amen. Ooh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh. My. There's a flaming arrow that went right beside me. I could hear the flames that are attached to the arrow and went right by me. This word is going to penetrate, guys. It's going to penetrate. It's a prophetic word that I need you to understand that you're going to go through a season. Or if you're in your season, you're about ready to come out. Amen. Amen. The prophet Isaiah had a vision of a road improvement. The prophet Isaiah had a vision of a road improvement. A road improvement. Watch this. It says this. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. He was in construction. How many of you know the prophetic word of God can reconstruct you? And it can construct you. It can build you and rebuild you. Amen. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and every hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Whew. And all the people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The prophet, amen. I appreciate your word. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, forever, and it is still in existence, and it shall never pass away. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name. See, the prophet had a vision of construction that was coming up, but it was construction for to make a way for the Lord to come in and to be magnified and glorified so people can understand who the Lord is. But he's making every crooked path straight. Every valley high, and every mountain low. Doesn't it seem like every time you're doing the things of God, that the path has a tendency to take you a little bit off course sometimes? Not by what God has designed, but even what your mind has designed and those that you've allowed to speak into your life that gets you off course. That you follow it that way and you begin to see that now your path that was going straight looks a little crooked. And it takes a prophet to come in and say, make it straight. Because the Lord is coming. What is that saying? He's coming into your circumstance, into your situation, into your inconsistencies. Maybe he's coming into the things that you don't realize are there. But he's coming in and say, I see that there's some things that maybe you've been in the valley experience and you feel like you've been down so low that you don't see the mountaintop experiences so often. But he's saying, I'm coming to bring you up so that you can have an experience with me. That I need to bring you closer, because sometimes the things that are going on in your life will take you further and further away if you let them. But I need to bring you up. I need to bring you up. Then he says, but I bring the mountain places, the high places down. I bring the proud low. There's some seasons that we got to be humble. It hurts. He would say, oh, I die daily. I watch what I start praying now, EJ. I don't die daily. Lord, I think I'm dead. Don't make me go through another death. I'm dead. But I'm alive in the spirit. I thank you, Lord. Don't make me go through a process to get rid of the flesh that I should have got rid of a long time ago. Don't put something in my life that's going to tell me that you still got some fleshy issues in your life that you need to get rid of. You know, all that kind of slang talk you talk with all those cuss words, you know. Hypothetical. No. I told myself. I didn't. It was just giving an example for those of you on YouTube. It was just an example for those of you. If you've got a sailor's mouth, then, you know, work on it. Work on it. Pastor, you talking about yourself? Yeah, yeah. But I got out the... I'm doing good. I'm good. We have to work on the things that God has told us to work on, but sometimes we have a problem that we create the crooked paths. We create some problems in our life. How many of you have created some problems in your own life? You know, come on, be real. You're in church. Be real. Come on. Y'all all better be raising your hand, because you know you have made some decisions in your life. You know, and you're like, no, I feel this is what we got to do. And then about 3 months later, I knew we shouldn't have done it. I knew we shouldn't have done it. But he never left you nor forsake you, even in that process when you made that mistake. He was with you the whole time. He used that very thing so he can show you how to clearly hear from him and not your emotions. Oh, this feels right. This is what I got to do. You better know that it's God before it's you. I questioned a lot of things this past year and a half. Boy, did I question it. I questioned it every single day. And someone told me the other day, well, you can't be questioning God like that. You need to trust him. I do trust his word. And I do trust that I was supposed to do what I'm doing. But sometimes, even when I'm doing what God told me to do and I'm doing it, doesn't make it sense sometimes, like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. You sure, God? You sure this is what you want me to do? I don't think you really thought it all the way through. Like we're going to tell God that he made a mistake. God, I was fasting, and I know you probably made a mistake. I knew I shouldn't have been. No. But God has a way of getting you someplace so he can work on you. How many of you been getting worked on? Sometimes you're like, man, can we take all this yellow caution tape off of us now? Because I'm tired of being in this process. I'm being inconvenienced, and I don't want it no more. I'm tired of it. I don't want to go to this no more. I don't want it to be this way no more. He says, well, quit complaining, quit griping, quit crying, and just do what I told you to do. Do it in the right spirit. Do it with the right heart, and do it as you're doing it unto me, and watch how your season will change. Well, how come you didn't say that at the beginning? Right? Because, you know, once you get the revelation of your season comes to an end. Because you don't have to go through it anymore. You're like, pues mira, I got it. Now I know why. Now I know why I went through what I went through, right? Look to your neighbor and say, you know why you went through that? You know why you went through it? It's because where you're going. It's because where you're going. Come on, come on. It's because where you're going. God loves you so much not to leave you in your mess. He loves you so much that he's not going to leave you in that valley. He's going to bring you on up. But before he shows you his hand, he's going to tell you first, you've got to learn to cry and yearn for me. You've got to want me more than anything else. Even though you're being inconvenienced, can you still praise me? Can you still worship me? Can you still dance in the presence of the Lord? Can you still be there when everything is going wrong in your life? Can you just lift up your hands and clap unto the Lord and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph, even when it feels like you're losing? Huh? All he's trying to do is to get you to understand, I need you to process this seed all the way through. Whew. You're about to get some royalty checks, Melissa. You're about to get some royalties checks that are coming to you. I don't know where this is coming from, but you have been bypassed, overlooked. But God's saying, I've been watching you. I've been watching your faithfulness. And sometimes you've even said, I feel like I'm out of your will. Come on, baby, get over there with her. Get over there with her. And I hear the Spirit of God say, Melissa, he was right there with you. He had to take you to show you who he is in every season of your life. And right now, I speak to you by the Spirit of the living God that I bring an utter end to this thing, an utter end to it, and I blot it out that you won't see it again. I declare unto you, woman of God, that you will see blessings and you will see a release in Jesus' mighty name. Hear the word of the Lord and know that God stopped by today to tell you, I counted every tear. I've watched you pace and walk back and forth. And you have felt like you've missed it. You have felt like it has passed you by. And God says, your season is now. Is now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. We go through for a season. In the Gospel of Mark, the writer, Mark, sees the same connection. And he says, prepare the way of the Lord. Get ready, because God is doing something new. Amen. Something new. I mean, are you understanding this? God wants to show us that he wants to do something new in our life, but we go through and holding on to the old things that we're so comfortable with. We hold on. We don't want to let go because we know this, and we've gotten so comfortable with this pain that we don't want to experience a new pain. Because we're more numb to this pain, we'll stay here, stay numb, get mad, but it's okay, I know this pain. I don't want a new pain that's going to cost me more. Whew. He's doing something new. When God is doing something new, he's offering us a permanent improvement. There's always danger of a temporary inconvenience. Hear this. A temporary inconvenience. How many of you have been in a season? Trust me, I know by the Spirit, everybody's going to be like, yeah. That you felt like this should come to an end soon. It should be soon. And about 3 months later, it should have been over. This hasn't changed. And it's still the same. But I've been feeling something that this was going to be quick. But it keeps being prolonged. And I don't understand it. I'm being temporarily inconvenienced. But for a permanent change. I said, Lord, I'll be very transparent with you. I said, Lord, Saturday night? Are you sure? You can't be right. This can't be God. Saturday night? Oh, I'm gonna miss people. Some are not gonna make it. He says, and this is what the Lord told me. When you quit making your own excuses, and just trust me by faith, which is the evidence of things that you're hoping for and you're not seeing yet. You just got to know that it's already there. I said, Lord, Saturday night? And this is how he talked to me. He said, so when you get up Sunday morning, you can go get yourself some barbacoa, some Big Red, and you can get yourself some pico de gallo, and you can take it easy and spend some time with me just relaxing. With some coffee and some sweet bread. They call it pan de luce, pan de huevo. I was having a moment there, Shelby. I'm going to get back in here. Wow. But being inconvenienced in your spirit, you don't see the benefit that he has for you because you see it has to be a certain way. And he's like, no. What I have for you is different. Don't try to mold yourself like somebody else or somebody else's ministry. Be like I called you to be. Do it the way I empowered you to do it, because inside of you is the seed. Oh, my. Whew. I love it. Watch this one. I put this, this is just me. You know, I spend more time thinking about where I'm going to eat. I spend more time, Mike, thinking about where I'm going to eat, what I'm going to eat when I get there, and how much I'm going to eat of it. Y'all think I'm being sick, but this is true. But watch this. And this is what the Lord said. If you would put more effort in thinking about the people that can't eat. Chancla came at me. I was like, well, why? What do you mean? He says, because we don't change our perspective. We're more concerned about being blessed to bless us, but not be a blessing to others. Even though you declare, I'm going to be blessed to be a blessing. Lord, you bless me. I'm going to bless everybody. What was the first thing that came to mind when I told you the checks were coming to you? Well, shoot, I was thinking about getting me a new car. I said, you see? What if the Lord spoke to you and said, what is coming to you is far greater than you have ever imagined. And when it gets to you, what are you going to do when I tell you to give it away? Everybody like the Christian. Shoot, I'm going to start rebuking, fasting, and praying. I'm going to hold off. I'm going to wait on Lord. I'm going to wait on God to see if it was really. And you got to bring that purple cow. It's got to come in front of me. And then I'll know I got to do it. No, because we fight against God because we want what we want, when we want it, how fast we want it, and how much we want it. And he says, you got to understand, I'm doing something inside of you because you yourself are a representation of my kingdom. And through you, I can touch others and you become my hand that is going to release my kingdom in people's lives. Because what I've given you and spoken into your life is about to change people's lives around you. But you got to be temporarily inconvenienced. I said, I don't like it. Come on, preach your own message. You know you don't like to be inconvenienced. You know you don't want to get in the line at HEB and you go walking down every single line to see which one is the shortest. And even every single one of the lines are open and you go to look at each one, which is the shortest one. Because you don't want to be inconvenienced. And you know it says 20 items and you got 30.
Praise God.
Favor. You don't broke a rule and you said that's favor. And then they look at you when they're scanning. Got any coupons? EJ, get out of that line, EJ. We don't want to be inconvenienced. We want to get in, get out, be done. Done. You know, I love brisket. How many of you like brisket? Ribs. Those 30-minute ribs, 30-minute brisket, those are good, aren't they? Uh-uh. No, because y'all were like, 30? Where'd you get that one at? Watch it. Y'all think I'm playing. We had a 45-minute rack of ribs. No, 45-minute rack of ribs. Did we not on that instant cooker, the pressure cooker thing? Oh, shut your mouth. We put Coca-Cola in there, put some seasoning in there. Off the bone. Off the bone. But see, here's the thing. What I learned from that is that, see, when you're in a small, confined place, and the heat is turned up so much that nothing escapes. Everything's kept inside. There's extra heat that's put on you that's going to tenderize you. It's going to infuse you with what his word is. And it's going to put that very thing inside of you to come up out of you. Before you can lift that lid, you got to release the pressure valve. Because you have so much pressure on you, you're about to explode. You may hurt somebody if you don't take care of the stuff that's inside of you. He's cooking you. He's putting you through the process, but he's going to release that valve, and then all that pressure is coming off of you. Woo! Watch this. The bone came right off, EJ. I hadn't even put the barbecue sauce on your head. I was gnawing on that bone before I even got the meat. Oh, I had an encounter. It's just a true story. But I got my message. There's ways that I can speed things up. But I got to keep outside influences away from you. And I got to put you in there and lock you up. There is a timer on this process. But as long as you get every joker away from your ears, and as long as you block some things out, even that you have a tendency to do, the way you got a tendency to be so negative and talk about this and what if that, how about just what if God said it is, and that's what it's going to be. That heat's going to get turned up so quick, so fast, but you're going to come out even faster. Amen. Temporarily inconvenienced. Hurry up, ribs, cook. I'm hungry. Got to the point we even bought beans in a can. And you know they don't taste the same. But now we buy beans in a can because we don't want to wait for them to cook. That is something. We got a whole bunch of doctrine. Temporarily inconvenienced. But God has a plan to improve you. I'm gonna take this into a series. I'm not gonna keep it too long. I've been working on my son's truck, going back and forth different things, and I've been going to different auto places and stuff. So one day I go into the, I think this is the Auto Zone Advance. It was Advanced Auto Parts. And as I'm in there, I'm waiting for the gentleman that's in front of me, and he's buying a battery. The older gentleman, the salesman, tells the guy, this battery will be the only battery you have to buy for this car. I said, that's a bold statement. I didn't know he had lifetime warranty on batteries. So I got real curious. So he's getting ready to go outside, right? But I didn't realize that he went outside first to look at the car, to look at the battery, come back, get the battery. So when now when I'm following him outside, he's going out there to put the battery in. I thought that's his first time seeing the car. So when I get out there and I see the car, I'm like, oh, no wonder. This car ain't going to last. It's not going to last. Honest to God story. I order the part for my son's truck. I go back the next day so I can pick up the part. The same guy, same vehicle, same battery. The battery died. This is not for real, really. I was here yesterday. That's the guy. That's the car. You just bought that. Now I'm mad for this guy. Like, dang, man, you just bought that. I'm with you, man. Man, you better get that warranty. It's lifetime warranty. The guy runs the scanner. It's not the battery. The car was dead. The engine locked up. It was done. It was a beautiful car. You know, you had the red door on this side and the yellow one on this side. And the, yeah. Okay. Headlights, well. Next day, he comes in. The car died. He says, you told me this battery, I would never have to buy another battery for this car. He said, well, I was looking at your car. I didn't think your car was going to make it. He says, and it didn't. It's not the battery. Look, sir, it's fully charged. Your car is dead. I was like, oh, my God. How many times do we think in life that we want a lifetime warranty and things just don't go the way you think? Right? So in my life, I started thinking, oh God, I want warranties in my life because I've given you a warranty. If you believe, confess with your mouth that I'm your Lord, you have eternal life. That's my warranty and my guarantee. This is temporal. This is temporal. You're only here for a minute. While you're here, you should be doing my business, kingdom business. And I grew up thinking that church was so boring and you get hurt in church and people pinch you and you got to be quiet. They're making more noise than you. And I got to the point, I don't want to go to church because you can't laugh, you can't joke, you can't have fun. And then I quit going. And so I had an encounter. And when I had an encounter, I realized that Jesus said, I want you to have life, enjoy your life, and have it more abundantly. Because what I put inside of you is seed. I need to cultivate it in your life, through life. And my word will water that seed. And when you speak what's inside of you, because then it begins to form for you. Amen. Being temporarily inconvenienced, but for a permanent good. We're only here for a little while. Just for a little while. So why walk around mad? Why walk around like you ate a whole bag of lemon? not liking anybody. When you can go through life enjoying the benefits that he's given you now. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would. We'll continue on next week. I'm giving you the opportunity so you can stretch your feet.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand praise. That was a great word. Amen. As he was ministering, the Lord really was ministering to me and speaking to me. And I just want to point this out. When I came, I'm a little overdressed. It's all right. I knew I was going to be overdressed. I'm making a point here. I knew I was going to be overdressed. And you need to know this. At least it's my experience that black people over 40 like to dress up. We like to dress. We like to, and it is a traditional thing that we get locked into. And I want to, and I'm saying that to say this, is that God has set you up because God is moving you out of the traditional thing. That's why your service is at, listen, the inconvenience is, there's going to be an inconvenience, but the inconvenience isn't what you think it is. The inconvenience is what you're supposed to do after you leave here. Because you remember when you were in the world, what would you be doing right now? You'd be getting dressed, you know, getting your stuff together, getting ready to go to the club. And now that you're saved, you just moved your time. You just shifted from the club to the church. So it's not an inconvenience as far as having church service on Saturday night. The inconvenience comes in when you go out into the world and you tell people about what y'all are doing in here. On a Saturday night, right. And so you can say, instead of going to the club, why don't you come to a real party? Why don't you come to a place where the Spirit of the Lord is moving and where God is doing some supernatural things? Because I know that one of the things that you all have been praying, even as the Lord has been showing me, and one of the things you really want to move in, you really want to move in the supernatural. And you want to see the supernatural. You want to see miracles, signs, and wonders. And I'm telling you, it's right there. It's just a little, it's not as far as some of you are thinking. It's just a little tweak, a little step to the side. And you're going to walk in it. I want to tell this quick testimony. I was in front of my house, and I just went out and I was shooting basketball, and the neighbors came out, and we was just beginning to play shoot around, and it was a miraculous thing. What they did is they saw somebody on Craigslist that needed some diapers, and they wanted to exchange for tuna fish. So they went and they met them. And they gave them the diapers, and they said, never mind, we don't want the tuna fish. By the way, do you need some groceries? Took them grocery shopping. They bought groceries, spent about $100 getting them groceries, and didn't fill up their gas tank. The next day, the news showed up at their doorstep. I think it's called the Good Samaritan. And they gave them $1,000 for being a Good Samaritan because the lady called them. But the thing that blew my mind was when, because, you know, the husband had recorded the whole thing. He recorded the whole thing, and he was showing it to me. And the whole time when they were giving his wife the $1,000, she kept saying, I don't deserve, I don't deserve, I don't deserve. And when she began to say that, the Lord began to put on my heart to minister about sons and daughters. And so I began to minister to about sons and daughters because, you know, most people, most Christian people in the Christian world, we think as servants and not sons and daughters. And you need to know that servants, they have to earn everything that they get. Sons just receive an inheritance. And so as I was ministering, I put my hand on his shoulder and I was talking to him, and I actually embraced him just like a father would embrace a son. And I was explaining to him how the son felt like I would just come back and be a servant, but the father was saying, I'm not restoring you to servant, I'm restoring you to sonship. So there's an inheritance. So even when you move into supernatural, it's because of the inheritance, not because you've earned it, the right to operate in it. To prove that point, while I had my hand on him, this guy, he had never experienced church like this or nothing, but when I had my hand on him, he said, man, I don't know what it is, but the whole time you had your hand on me, I just felt he didn't know what it was, I just got goosebumps. I just had goosebumps all up and down my arm. And so I began to minister to him. I prayed for him. I prayed over him. And then we're in my front yard, and he falls out in the spirit in my front yard, on the front yard. And then the Lord delivers him from anger and some other stuff. And then his wife, I ministered to her. She had grief and sorrows. Her mother had just died, and she hadn't slept in since then. Yeah, since January, that's when her parent mother had died. And so when I prayed for her, I talked to her the next day, and she said she's been sleeping like a baby. But the reason I want to bring this up is because of this, is because when you begin to move in the supernatural, it's not going to be because you fasted enough. It's not going to be because you prayed enough. It's going to be because you realize that you are sons and daughters and that this inheritance belongs to you and that you'll be able to operate in it. Now, the reason why I'm saying this to you is because you're going to fill this place up with people that need God. And you don't need to have it in your mind that I have to have this word right, that I have to have these scriptures right, that I have to have all this thing. Only thing you need to understand is that I'm a son, and I need to introduce them to the fact that they're sons, and they can walk into this in this whole thing as well. And as you begin to pray, as you begin to minister, as you begin to just do what God tells you to do, you're going to see God move in supernatural ways, and God is going to shift this thing. And shift this thing into a place where people are coming in droves. But you got to believe, and you got to know that your part, that there's a part for you to play. When you was talking about going to eat, and I was thinking about going to eat too. In fact, I got to go eat now, you know. But I was thinking about this. There's two things. What you said is so absolutely true, is that when I think about eating, I think about what I'm going to eat and where I'm going to eat. I don't think about when I'm going to eat. I don't think about when I'm going to eat, because I'm going to eat. And in the same sense, you got to begin to look at this, is that people are not going to worry about when they're going to eat. They just want to know that when they come to eat, it's going to be something good to eat. And as long as you continue to be the people of God that God is calling you to be, it's always going to be something to eat. And so therefore, you're never going to have a problem being able to bring people out on site. In fact, you may be starting a trend. People may start shutting down Sunday and start having Saturday night services because it's going to bring people them to a place of being able to receive God without the religious bin, without the religious all of this. It's just that people loving God, and that's what the world needs. So don't think about it's on a Saturday night. It's not. Listen, that's not going to be the inconvenience. The inconvenience is when you say yes to God, like you've been saying, and you go out and you tell Jesus and you say, I know a place. I know a man that said things, told things about me that I didn't know. So be encouraged and continue to come. And you're going to really see that this is an inconvenience when you get up on Sunday morning. Here's the last thing. Amen. Here's the last thing I want to say is this, is that go after the men. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that because of what I see in here and what I don't see in here. I'm saying that because you're going to have an advantage to go after men. It's in the spirit. You're going to have an advantage to go after the men and to bring the men in. Even, and that's in the spirit. In the natural, they're going to be thinking, well, shoot, I can get up, I can watch the Dallas Cowboys, I can watch the Spurs, I can watch this, I can watch that. So, yeah, so it would be more convenient for them to come on Saturday night than Sunday morning. So do not be discouraged. Be encouraged that God has set you up to cause the house of manna to explode, because there truly is manna in this house. There's manna in this house, and you have a reason to give God praise. Amen.
Amen, amen. What I want to do at this time, I feel there was some folks in here that the Lord had showed me. We're about to be touched, and I'm going to say it this way. In the very area that you need his hand to be. So I want you to go to Touch Me, Lord, put that on. And then as this song begins to play, if you want the Lord to come and touch you in that place of your inconvenience, come to this altar so we can pray for you. Come to this altar. Because I believe God is doing a new thing in your life. And let this be the turning point. And let this be that very season that comes to an end. And you step into your new and your fresh.